habe mishamayim ure ki hayinu lagvakeh.
I'll never forget the time, a number of summers ago, I was speaking with a group of teenagers, and we were talking about different aspects of Golus and Geula, exile and redemption. And at the time, I mentioned to them a medrash that describes the four exiles of Jewish history. Golus Bavel, the first base of Mikdash destroyed at the hands of the Babylonians. Paros and Madai, the exile in which the Purim story took place. Golus Yavan, our struggle with the Syrian Greeks during the second base of Mikdash, which led to the Hanukkah miracle. And finally, Golus Edom, the Romans who destroyed the second base of Mikdash, leaving us in our current exiled state for more than 1,900 years. And I'll never forget the look on the face of one of the young men. He looked at me with this puzzled look on his face, and he says, "What do you mean we're in Golus? We're not actually in exile, are we?" And I gently responded to him that, "Yes, Tzaddik, we're in Golus, we're in exile." And he was so taken aback, he was very confused, and he says to me, "But it doesn't at all feel like we're in exile." And I remember I sighed, and I said to him, "I'm afraid that's exactly the reason we're still in exile." And I remember I was so bothered that day, trying to understand, how could it be that a student who goes through so many years of Jewish education, Torah education, to not even have a sense of the spiritual state of our people, to not even have a notion that we're living in an imperfect world. I remember I felt very upset by it. And as I thought about it then, and as I continue to think about it now, and I make an honest assessment of how that could be, there was one answer that I kept coming back to. An answer that certainly is not a comfortable one, but one that I think rings very true. How is it that so many of us don't even realize that we're in Golus? And I think the answer is exceedingly simple. It's that we've become so used to it. After 1,945 years of waiting, of longing, of hoping that there's going to be a third base of Mikdash, we've reached a point where we've reached a state of abandonment and feelings of despair have set in. We don't even remember that once upon a time we were living in a world where we experienced Geula. And I'm not, God forbid, saying, and I would never have the audacity to suggest that the Jewish people have openly given up hope. I'm sure many of us take the time every day in davening and our siddurim after Shacharis to say the words, the Yud Gimel Ikarim, paraphrased from the Rambam, Ani Mamin Bemuna Shleima Bevias HaMashiach, Va'af Al Pi Shiyas Mameya Im Kol Zeh Achak Lo B'Chol Yom Shiyavo. I wait and I believe with complete faith that Mashiach is going to come. But I question, how many of us really mean it? How much do we really feel Be'emuna Shleima that this Golus is coming to an end very soon? Chazal described the period in which we're living in as the Ikvus of the Mashiach. Means the footsteps of Mashiach, the final moments before the Geula Shlema, before the final redemption. And each and every Jew has the very difficult challenge, the task of trying to help write that final chapter of Jewish history, which in a sense is really the history of the entire universe. We've been here for a very long time, and it's been a very painful and long and difficult final chapter, not only in the length of the Geulas, but with regard to the pain that we felt throughout this Geulas. Let's just try to understand a little bit what it must have been like for a Jew living in the time period when the second base of Mikdash was destroyed. You know, when the first base of Mikdash was destroyed, so the Jewish people went into exile for 70 years. But after 70 years, we bounced back, we rebuilt. A base of Mikdash was erected in that same spot where the first one stood. Okay, it wasn't exactly the same, it didn't have the same presence of God that was felt by the first base of Mikdash, but there was a sense of triumph that the Jewish people felt. We had rebounded, we had picked ourselves up from the ashes of the first Chorban, and I'm sure every single Jew said to himself, "I'm going to commit myself to never make that mistake that brought about the destruction of the first base of Mikdash." Rav Yaakov Emden actually brings a very remarkable thing in his commentary on the Siddur. He says that when the second base of Mikdash stood, they celebrated on Tisha B'Av. People ate on Tisha B'Av. People drank on Tisha B'Av. It was a day of Yom Tov, a day of tremendous celebration. Unfortunately, 420 years later to the day, the unfathomable happened. The base of Mikdash was destroyed once again, in the same place, on the same day, a day that, like Rav Yaakov Emden says, was celebrated as a Yom Tov, had once again become a day of terrible sorrow and the pain and suffering of the Jewish people. The same day, the same exact place. And it's that repetition that Chazal note makes Tisha B'Av such a painful and tragic day. You look at the beginning of Megillas Eicha, B'cho Tivche B'Laila, the Pasuk says. Come, let us cry double tears. Rashi says we're crying twice over the two destructions that took place. But it's important to realize it's not only the quantity of tears, it's the quality of our tears. The pain we feel on Tisha B'Av is like no other day in the Jewish calendar year. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah seems to really drive this point home. The Gemara says that normally, in times of relative prosperity, the Jewish people could choose whether or not they want to fast on the fast days that are instituted throughout the calendar year. Tisha B'Av It's mandatory in all times. Why is that so? The Gemara says very simply because Tisha B'Av marks the double Chorban, the anniversary of a double destruction, or in the language of the Gemara, Hoel v'Huchbulu Botzaros. It's a day of multiple losses. The Baal Yatosos on the side of the Gemara raise an obvious question. The 17th of Tammuz is not that different. The Gemara describes five horrible things that took place in Jewish history on the 17th of Tammuz. So why is it that Tisha B'Av is in a class of its own? And the Baal Yatosos so wisely, so succinctly, so sharply share the following insight. They say, Tzara achas huchbulu bo. It's not just that many bad things happened. It's that the exact same thing happened twice. You know, imagine Lamushal, a young girl sitting on the floor playing with her blocks. And she decides to build a palace for one of her dolls. And she sits there working for hours. When suddenly her younger brother sneaks up behind her and sends the blocks flying, destroying this palace. In the world of that girl, psychologists would tell you that's a real chorban. It's no less than a real house collapsing in the world of an adult. So imagine she picks herself up and she dries her tears and her parents encourage her to try once again. And she sits there painstakingly rebuilding this palace for her doll. And as she's putting the final touch, that last block on top, her younger brother sneaks up once again and sends the blocks flying. And she's inconsolable. She bursts into tears and she declares as she's sobbing, I'm never again going to try to rebuild that palace. And we understand why. The pain is so great. Two times the exact same thing. Lahavdil, that's how Klal Yisrael felt when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed again. On the same day, the same tragedy, in the same spot. It's very easy to understand why we didn't have the physical or emotional strength to rebuild. And now fast forward through the length of the Galus. And it's very easy to understand why we feel so stuck. You know, one of the greatest enemies I think that we face in Galus is time. Galus drags on and we feel grounded by it. The Belzer Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshua of Belz, had a tremendous insight in the Psukim at the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Sefer Shmos, of course, the Ramban identifies as the book of exile and redemption. When the Jewish people first came to Mitzrayim, the Torah davened, so to speak, Yaakov Avinu davened on our behalf that we shouldn't get stuck in the Galus. The Belzer Rebbe notes, look at the pasuk carefully. Ve'eila Shmos b'nei Yisrael haba'im Mitzrayimah. These are the names of the Jewish people who are coming to Egypt. It says it in the present tense. It doesn't say Ve'eila Shmos b'nei Yisrael haba'u Mitzrayimah. These are the names of the Jews who came in the past to Mitzrayim. And the Belzer Rebbe says there's a radical difference in attitude between the two. The Torah says a Jew has to see himself as being in the present tense when he's in Galus. Never to see Galus as a permanent plan or something that we've settled into. Never to see it as something of our past that's etched into our history. It has to remain something that we keep on the table in front of us. Something that we're always looking to remove at the earliest opportunity. The Torah hopes that in Mitzrayim we're going to be like visitors who are longing to return home as soon as humanly possible. To get back to the place that a Jew belongs to be, in an environment that a Jew deserves to be. And unfortunately, that's the reality of our world today. We've gotten stuck in our galus. Life without the Beis HaMikdash has become totally normal for us. Rav Baruch of Mezhbuzh was a grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. At one time, Rav Baruch was approached by one of his grandchildren, and he was crying, and he calmed him down, and he said, what's bothering you? He described that one of his friends had hurt him terribly that afternoon. As kids are known to do, they were playing hide-and-seek in the house, and it was his turn to hide, and he found the most unbelievable hiding spot, and he took his place in the house, and his friend was making his way from room to room. 5 minutes went by, 10 minutes went by, 15 minutes went by. He realized his friend's never going to find him. He comes out of his hiding spot expecting to receive these lavish praises from his friend. And as he comes out, he sees that his friend is literally nowhere to be found. He walks around the house, going from room to room, comes downstairs, he notices the front door is a bit ajar. He walks out, he sees halfway down the block his friend is engaged in conversation with some other children in the neighborhood. And he says, I don't understand, we're in the middle of a game, where did you go? He says, well, you know, I lost interest and I decided to find something that was more interesting to me. And at this point, Rav Baruch HaMezhbuzh burst into tears. And now his grandson was trying to console him. And Rav Baruch HaMezhbuzh says, I want you to know I'm crying, of course I feel your pain, but I'm crying because I learned from what happened to you today exactly the way we treat a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem went into hiding. And the Jewish people, you can imagine, wanted nothing more than to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. To somehow, to seek him out, to pierce that heavenly Hester upon him, to break through that concealment and once again connect with God. But as the heavenly game of hide and seek dragged on, the Jewish people lost interest. We found other friends and other interests, and we forgot that Hashem's home was laying in ruins. So what does all this mean for us now in Tisha B'Av? And I want to share just one thought that I think if we focus on today, it's a perspective that I think that if we commit ourselves to, we can use that as a source of tremendous encouragement on a day that's terribly painful for the Jewish people. The question that we ask on Tisha B'Av is Eicha. How did we get here? That's what the word Eicha literally means. And normally we understand it as a question of utter despair. It's a question that doesn't really lend itself to be answered. But I think there's a deeper, perhaps another dimension to Eicha. When we ask ourselves on Tisha B'Av, how did we get here? We're subtly reminding ourselves that we weren't always here. We're waking ourselves up to realize that we don't have to accept life in Galus. We've experienced a different way, a better way. Despite the heaviness, like we've described, the Galus, the length of the Galus, the pain of the Galus, but there's a way to find our way out. And if we find that strength to pick ourselves up and to get out of this Galus, we'll leave Galus behind once and for all. I think that's really what Chazal are hinting at when they say that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. By acknowledging the Galus in a real way, by facing it head on, that's how we begin the process of Geula. By asking the question of Eicha, it's the first step to getting ourselves out. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov one time was approached by one of his Hasidim, and he was feeling terribly bad about the mistakes he had made in his life. He was convinced that there was nothing he could do to change the spiritual damage he had done. And Rabbi Nachman famously said to him, "Im ata ma'amin she'yacholim lekalkel, if you believe you can damage the world, tamin she'yacholim letaken, believe you have the ability to correct the world." Tisha B'Av is the day that I think we start believing in Geula in a real way again. Not to allow ourselves to barely recognize the Galus, but to respond to that call of Eicha. To ask ourselves, how did we get here? But more importantly, how are we going to get out? To begin that search for God once again. It's time to wake ourselves up from that sleepy, exiled state and start dreaming of a better future. But we have to know it and we have to want it. Until we decide, be'emuna shlema, like we say every day, to really believe that we want a life of Geula, only then can we make it a reality. I'll leave you with a final story. The famous tzaddik, Reb Zusha of Anapoli, was once walking with some of his students. And there was a peasant farmer that was walking by. He was pushing a wagon filled with hay, traveling a little bit ahead of the Rebbe and his Talmidim. Suddenly, the farmer hit a bump in the road, and one of the large bales of hay went flying to the ground. And the farmer struggled to lift the bale of hay and place it back on his wagon. Realizing he couldn't do it, he turned to this group of young men, and he asked for help. And they said, politely, they said, "We're sorry, there's nothing we could do. We just can't help you right now." And the farmer said to them, "Let's just be clear. It's not that you can't help me. It's that you have no interest in helping me. You don't want to help me." Students went on their way, but the Rebbe Reb Zusha had heard something more. And he said, "Did you hear what the simple farmer just taught us? It's not that we can't help him. It's that we don't want to help him. Isn't the same thing true for Mashiach? It's not that we can't bring redemption. It's that we don't care enough about it. It's not a priority in our lives. Let's use today, let's use Tisha B'Av to start thinking and start believing in Geula in a real way. Because if we make it real, it'll produce real results. It's been a very, very long Galus. And many of us feel that our souls and our bodies are very tired. But God should give us the strength. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength to finish writing that final, what I'm sure will be a very beautiful chapter in Jewish history. And Amir Tashem will be zochet to see the Beis HaMikdash b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen."